This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Question, did Apple break the law when it came up with prices for electronic books?
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Apple is in court today. The Justice Department says the company tried to fix the prices of e-books. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us now live from Washington. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, David.
What is this case all about?
Well, the question is whether, as you said, Apple colluded with e-book publishers to set prices. David, think back to 2009. Apple was getting ready to launch its iPad and its e-book store. And at that time, as you remember, most e-books were sold by Amazon for $9.99. In some cases, Amazon lost money, but that was okay with Amazon because it was trying to promote its Kindle. Now, the Justice Department is accusing Apple of conspiring with e-book publishers to set higher prices. Prices did go up. And I talked about this with Roger Kay. He's a tech analyst with Endpoint Technologies.
And the average price was $13.99, then that's $3.99 more than the $9.99 that Amazon was getting from consumers. So more than 30% higher pricing, which is actually pretty substantial when you think about it.
Nancy, for the ebook business then, this is about higher prices?
Yeah, I mean, consumers are paying more for ebooks, at least by prominent authors. You can still get an ebook written by somebody who's not very well known for a bargain. But the upshot is ebook publishers have taken pricing power away from ebook sellers like Amazon. And now publishers have a lot more say in how much ebooks sell for. Apple says it's not responsible for this. It's a trend that started before it even got into the ebook business. But whoever started it, the pricing of ebooks has definitely changed.
Indeed. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I suppose you could say the people who do the ordering at factories around the world get to see the global economy before it happens. There's news today that an index of China's purchasing managers has slipped, suggesting economic contraction there. But in European countries that use the euro, new data this morning suggests factories seem to be gaining momentum. The Institute for Supply Management will have a readout on U.S. factories later this morning. So you want to be a physician? Along the way, you may practice some medicine, but these days it also pays to know something about business, especially as federal health care reform starts upending just about everything involved with the economics of medicine. The Kelly School in Indiana, a top 20 business program, is looking to cash in on that by launching an online MBA for doctors. From KQED, Arthi Shahani reports.
If an online MBA doesn't sound legit, check out the price tag on Kelly's two-year program, $58,000. And that doesn't include hotel or airfare to Indianapolis for monthly in-person sessions. The program takes 40 students. Dr. Anthony Sabatino is one of them.
Obamacare scares me. What's going to be the long-term effects after 2014 when it's implemented?
Sabatino is an anesthesiologist who performs a couple thousand spinal procedures a year. He says Obamacare is starting to shift the business model of medicine, from payment for services to payments based on outcomes, like how well patients recover.
I think it's going to affect everybody's practices. I mean, how do you determine quality?
One of the first classes that you're going to be taking is called Healthcare Revenue and Delivery Models, talking about changing reimbursement models that are more risk-based, ones that are more value-based.
During an online info session, faculty chair Vicki Smith-Daniels reels off a course for every concern. How to turn electronic medical records into big data that can make practices leaner. How to open a dialogue with hospitals to reduce patient readmission rates. Even how to cram in coursework where there is no internet.
iTunes University will allow you to download those materials on a weekly basis onto your iPad.
Kelly isn't the only MBA program migrating to the internet. Robert Lytle, a consultant with the Parthenon Group, points out Carnegie Mellon, Duke, and Johns Hopkins are doing it too.
When you start to see top-ranked institutions out there offering either fully online or kind of hybrid, partially online programs, it just continues to lend more and more credibility to the modality.
And who knows, with more doctor MBAs in the mix, your physician may soon be able to explain your ailment and your bill. In San Francisco, I'm Aarti Shahani for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
A solar summit kicked off today in Nairobi, Kenya. Representatives from about six Central and East African countries are attending to network with reps from the solar power industry. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has more on what solar is going to mean for that continent.
The solar industry in Africa is heating up. Alex Klein is research director at IHS. He says solar helps meet the need for new sources of energy.
Because of the significant drop in the cost of solar over the last few years, solar is now competitive as a way to displace some of that oil use for power generation. It can be more cost effective.
Stephen Mullinex is with Solar Reserve, which has some solar projects underway in South Africa. He says the company hopes to expand into other African countries.
If you look at population growth, economic growth, Africa is one of the greatest growth opportunities in the world, in my opinion, and that's sort of across different economic sectors. All of those economic sectors depend on stable, available power supply, so that feeds very nicely into what we do.
Banks also seem to recognize that economic growth. Mullinex says the financial community is looking favorably on loans for African solar projects. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And the Internal Revenue Service reportedly spent $50 million on conferences for its employees. The Wall Street Journal quotes the new acting chief of the IRS calling this spending inappropriate. The Treasury Department has a report on the spending due tomorrow. You'll soon be hearing a lot about the IRS and line dancing. The Treasury Watchdog's report apparently uncovered training videos featuring IRS employees learning the Cupid Shuffle on the taxpayer nickel. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.